We're in a little series. Every summer I start around Mother's Day, right on Mother's Day, I go through Father's Day talking about family and family issues and things that can help our family. You know why? Because I is one. I need help. Amen? I need that kind of focus in my life. And so that's what we're doing. And we picked this little book of Ruth this time. I can't tell you why. Just the Lord laid it on my heart. I've never at all seen the book of Ruth like this. I've never preached the book of Ruth like this. And it's a little interesting because I'm trying to do two things at one time. I'm trying to tell you the story of the book of Ruth. And also I'm trying to reveal some things I think that is in this family, some secrets to their success. You've got a woman here who was from Moab. Her name, Moabites, means incest. So here's a woman who comes from a people who's known for incest. They couldn't worship in the tabernacle. They were despised. They were idolaters. And so that's the way she grew up. And there she met Elimelech and Naomi's son, married him over in Moab. And now he's dead. The boys, both her and this other girl, the husbands died. Naomi lost her two sons, lost her husband. So you got three dead husbands, two dead sons, three widows. What a mess. And if they can make it, we can make it. Are you hearing me today? Say, that's what I'm talking about. You hear me? It's family secrets. You don't love it? Man, my stuff. That's a pretty rough stuff right there. All right? So we've been looking at this story, and today we're going to see secrets to a lasting love. Can you say that with me? Secrets to a lasting love. I need you to help me. I know the music's been good. It's preaching time. Y'all ready? Come on. Secrets to a lasting love. I want it. Amen? I want my marriage to last. I want my home to last. That's what I want. And God's for me. He's not against me. He wants this thing to work. Amen? You got to believe that. We're going to the message right now. Secrets to a lasting love. Let's go. See what we see. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. If you have your Bible, if you can turn there, and that'd be a great thing. Might want to take some notes. I guarantee it. These, I think, six or seven things we're going to say today, they're worth writing down. If you want a lasting love. I'll see you the DVD later and check it out that way, or go on the website on tomorrow, and you can just do the PowerPoint yourself and take your time and let it sink in. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law. We can't go re-preach all of Ruth, right? Okay? So can't do it. We're in chapter 3 right now. All right? They had to starve to death. Ruth was gleaning last time that we saw and brought home some food, enough to feed her for 10 days. And lo and behold, she had been gleaning in a field of a man who was related to him. A man named Boaz. Can you say that with me? Boaz. She was, and that was like, wow. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't planned. That's the secret plan of God. By the way, Boaz's mama was a prostitute. Okay, so here you got a woman over here who's name means incest. You got a guy whose mom was a prostitute. Can anything good come out of a situation like that? I'm going to tell you something. Your Savior came through this couple. Amen? So I guess something good can come out of bad stuff. Amen? Bad situations. But you just cannot let yourself wallow in that and think there is no hope. You're never going to get anywhere like that. All right? So let's pick it up and let's look. So she said, her mother-in-law said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Pop it up, Raj. Greater vision. Greater vision. Ruth came from Moab. Now she's back in Bethlehem. They just made the 60-mile journey. She's a widow. They're starving to death. Don't have anything. But this one good, hopeful day, she comes home with some food enough to feed her for 10 days and reveals to Naomi that this man is related. And boy, Naomi's mind gets to working. You see all things? She starts planning. She starts seeing things. And what did Naomi's name mean? It first meant what? Pleasant, sweet, but then she said, call me what? Mara, which means what? Bitter. So here's a bitter woman, full of bitterness, pain. She's having a vision. She's seeing the future. Look at me. She's seeing the future. Listen to me. The future for Ruth. That's what I feel today, up in this stage. I feel like I want to be able to paint a greater vision for your life, for your marriage. I don't know what you're going through. But I know enough, and that is, I know in an audience like this, and I know the hell that Joy and I went through the first 3 or 4 years of our marriage. She always hates it when I say that, but it's true. All right, it was mostly my fault. Yeah. Oh, look at this. Yeah. Duncan's going, you? Yeah. Yeah. That's meaner than a snake, if you can't believe that. All right? Didn't know how to love a woman. But I tell you what, we made it 23 years later. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so I want to show you today through this story that you also can make it. We're going to paint a vision like Naomi's trying to do. So let's go. Keep going, Raj, with our scripture today. First of all, you got to be able to see. So many times pain blinds you. You can't see a thing. How many read? Let's read the top line. Here we go. L-P-E-D. Now put one hand over your one eye. Come on, help me here. Help me here. Help me. Do it. Play along with me. Come on. Read the lower line.
E-E-D.
Keep going.
L-P-E-D.
Get in the back, get it. Some people are saying R and S and stuff like this. Listen, the point is, so often because of our past, we do get blurred vision. We can't see. We can't see that I can make it. You don't understand, Pastor, what my marriage is going through. There's no way we can make it. Or maybe you've gone through a divorce and you just feel horrible. How can I even go on? How can I have a relationship? What can I do? Okay, let's find out from this story today. Regardless of your past or your past experiences, the grace of God can make a difference in your life. You've got to believe that. And with that grace, you can have a great marriage and a lasting love. It's not about you. It's about the grace of God working through you to give you a great marriage. And that's what was happening in this story. Great things were happening. Naomi cast this vision for Ruth. Ruth didn't know a thing about this. She's just trying to eat, man. That's all she's trying to do. She didn't know probably all about these customs and everything, of how to get a man, how to get somebody to take care of her. But she cast this vision for Ruth. She says, "Shall I seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Can you read that with me and help me this morning? "Shall I seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Here she's trying to help Ruth. It's a great story because I love this woman who was full of bitterness. She's starting to come to life again, isn't she? Say, and maybe that be a big key to your bitterness, your problem. Why don't you start trying to help somebody? Why don't you start trying to pour your life into somebody else instead of always dwelling on the past? Every time somebody meets you, you tell them your past story. This happened to me. This happened to me. And let me tell you why. I've got some stories back up. Okay? Well, let me tell you something. If you're always focusing on the past, you're never going to be able to cast a vision for somebody for the future. Does that make any sense to anybody other than me? Okay, so I think it's a beautiful thing. Here's Naomi. She's not going to be the one getting married here. It's not going to all do it, but I can see some life coming into this woman. The word rest, by the way, can be translated as home and vice versa. Keep popping the strings. Home can be translated as rest. The two words go hand in hand. That's where we get the word rest home from. When somebody gets home, you put them where? Many times they go to where? We used to call this in the South a rest home. That's what we call it. What y'all call it? Nursing home. It changed. Because I never heard it called nursing home when I was a kid. It was always the rest home. Matter of fact, in Rockingham, North Carolina, it says on the corner out by the hospital, Green Lawn Rest Homes. There it is. That's what they called it. Why would they call it such a thing? Well, because these people on up in years can't take care of themselves. It's a place where they can feel at home. It's also a place where they can get rest. They can get help. That was the idea. That's how your home should be. Your home should be a place of rest. Your home should be a place that is home. Home, rest, rest, home. That's what marriage is about. It's not about fighting. It's not about hating each other's guts. It's not about one-upping each other all the time. It's not about that at all. It's not about just get trying to get through it. It ought to be a place of rest. That should be your home. Do you hear me today? You might say, that's not reality, Clark. That is reality with Jesus Christ. He can change your life. He can change your world you live in. If you'll let it. But you've got to start, instead of looking at a past, you've got to start to see there is a future for me. It's in Jesus Christ. This is the great security that comes from marriage. Some of you might be listening to my voice today, and you're living together. Listen to me. You're never going to find that security, that happiness, that rest, until you commit to one another in Jesus' name. Well, I like it the way I got it. Well, you might like it the way you got it. A, that ain't the way God planned it, okay? Whether you like it or not. I know that's tough preaching. That's reality. God created marriage, a man and a woman, to be married, to be committed to one another. Not just to have an arrangement where if it gets rough, you can fly the coop. That's not what it's about. It's about to have security in your life, and you need that. So here we go, secret number one. Now, Roger, we got to put it into warp speed. You ready, buddy? I'm the one, I know, I'm the big mouth. I got it. Roger's pointing at me. Here we go. Secret number one for lasting love. Here we go, put it up. Believe you can have it. Say that. Believe you can have it. One more time. Believe you can have it. Let's make it personal. I believe I can have it. You say that with me? I believe I can have it. That's secret number one. Oh, I can't never make it. You ain't. You don't understand. Listen, you got to believe you can have it. You got to believe I can have a great marriage. I can have a lasting love with my life. Okay? If you came to me today and you said, Garrett, do you believe you enjoy going to be together for till you die? Absolutely. Sure I do. Does that mean I haven't had any hard times? No, we've had terrific times. Hard times, difficult. But I just believe it. There's nothing in me that doesn't believe that. I just believe we're going to make it. You see what I'm saying? Well, you just blew it because y'all are perfect. You are really funny if you think that. Talk to Joy. See her later. Have any conversation with you want. Let her talk to her. She'll tell you sometimes I'm a dog. Man, I'm telling you. That's the way it is sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I'm not right. And you're going to see that from this message. I know I'm going to get personal with my own self. I can't pick on somebody else other than me. Here we go. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? I believe I can have a lasting love. I believe my marriage can make it. Okay? And this is some great thoughts no matter where you are in life. You got to believe you can have it. Let's keep going. Let's look at our story now. Here we go. Ruth 3:2. Now is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maids thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. This is Naomi talking. Said, hey, you know that Boaz fella? He's going to be doing some farming tonight. They take care of the grain tonight, this evening. Shall I get involved? Isn't that just like a woman never really get involved? Like just try to just match make? You know? Isn't that something? Here she is. Especially a mother or a mother-in-law. Come on, here we go. It's a good thing, though. It's good to see the lady alive. It's good to see Naomi doing something. The threshing floor. What was that? What was she talking about? It's a place for refining. And that's a lot of our marriages are like that. It's a place of refining where we rub each other the wrong way. But if we hang in there, I'm telling you, some good things can come out of our situation. Boaz would be winnowing barley on the threshing floor in the evening. Let's look at what the threshing floor was all about. This is an actual threshing floor. I don't know how good you can see that. Big old round concrete looking pit that inside there the threshing would take place of the grain. The threshing floor was usually located on an elevated exposed site so the breeze could help in the winnowing process and blowing the chaff away. The westerly winds in Israel, they're a lot like the winds in southwest Florida. They begin to blow in the afternoon. They continue through sunset. I worked outside in the yard yesterday, and I stayed out there working even after sunset. And those winds were still blowing, and they sort of died down. That's what was happening here. So they would get in there. The grain would be separated from the husk by animal-drawn sledges that would be pulled across the grain that was laying there. Then the grain would be thrown into the air with a wooden pitchfork. And the wind's blowing. What's happening to the stuff? Blowing away. And the heavy stuff, watch it. The breeze helped blow away the chaff, allowing the kernels of grain to drop to the threshing floor. So that's what was going to be happening tonight. She says, that's happening tonight. You got to go check it out. All right? And she's talking to her. Keep it moving. Also, at the threshing floor, the men would usually remain through the night to guard the grain remaining at the threshing floor. So this is part of the story. Y'all with me? I'm feeling a little worried right now. Okay. Y'all with me? Here we go. You're cool? Okay. So the men would usually stay there through the night. You need to know this. So Naomi gives some instructions. So here she is. She's got a vision for this lady's future, how she can make it, how she can have a man, how she can have a happy life. Let's look at it. 3:3 and 4. She says to Ruth, this is good advice for all of us. Wash yourself. Anoint yourself. Put on your clothes upon thee. Get me down to the floor, the threshing floor. But don't make yourself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Verse 4. It shall be when he lies down that thou shalt mark the place where he is lying. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Now that's some serious matchmaking stuff I ain't never heard before. It might work. I'm just kidding. Anyway, this was the way they did it. Let's look at some instructions. What you say? Wash yourself. Keep moving. Anoint yourself. Clothe yourself. Go down yourself. Don't make yourself known. Be aware of things yourself. Okay? So she gives her some instructions. We're trying to learn the secret to a lasting love. Here's secret number two. Here it is. Secret number two. We're going to talk about it. Here it is. Be you, not somebody else, but be the best you can be. In your relationship, in your marriage, be you. Not somebody else, but be the best you can be.
Okay, that means if you've done all this kind of mess and bad habits, they'll say, well, that's just me and that's just the way it is.
Listen, that ain't the best you, is it, son? Be you, but be the best you you can be. Did you see what she told her? Wash yourself. Anoint yourself. What's that mean? Put on some makeup. Put on some perfume. Smell good. It's a good thing. Clothe yourself. Do you think Ruth had some big time wardrobe she could go to and pull out something fancy, yes or no? No. I'm sure it meant whatever you got, prepare it. Make it clean. Look the best you can. Amen? Let's keep moving. The way you keep yourself, the way you present yourself, it matters. It matters. I remember our administrator this week, Alex Christie, told me on Tuesday was his anniversary. And he goes home after work, and he's going to take Don out for dinner, and he looks into the mirror, and he looks pretty good. He's got that little shadow thing happening. And he says, I look pretty good. But then all of a sudden, he thought, I'd have never looked like this when I was dating her and when I cared about her, you know, in that courting stage. You know what he said? He said, I shaved, took a shower, put on cologne, got the best I could be. Amen? Listen, no, you're not going, I'm telling you, this might seem simple. Clark, you're crazy. This ain't how marriage works. Let me tell you something. Take care of yourself. The way you present yourself, the way you dress, the way you smell. Fellas, I told you before in the Song of Solomon, you stink, your wife ain't gonna have anything to do with it. All right, it's horrible. And ladies as well, listen to me. Listen, I don't want to be ugly, but I'm gonna be. Wearing frumpy clothes with tennis shoes, and I'm attractive. No, you're not. Okay? I'm sorry, I hurt somebody. You're not. I mean, do the best you can with what you have. But be you. Don't try to be somebody else. So many couples, Satan will use this in your life. You see this couple, you think they have a great marriage, and it's just lily white. By the way, it ain't. You don't know what's going on. But you try to be them. Or you'll read you a book. I won't be like the person in the book. God made you. He can take you and your husband right where you are, and He can make great things happen. But He just doesn't work with phones. He doesn't work with phones. Jesus couldn't stand the hypocrites in His day. And it doesn't work in marriage, being somebody you're not. Okay? Let's keep going. Are y'all with me so far? We pray the computer keeps working. Let Jesus help you. Now, this is important. I said be you. Not somebody else. Be the best you you can be. Well, you can't be the best you you can be without Jesus' help. Okay? That's why so many of you are feeling disturbed and distressed in your marriage right now, in your relationship, because you've tried. You say, I've tried. What can I do? Let Jesus help you. Here's how He helps you. Pretty simple. Just like Naomi said, wash yourself. What do you mean, preacher? This is a classic passage on marriage in Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Verse 26, that He might sanctify it. Say it with me. And cleanse it with the what? The washing of the water by the what? That's how you can make your marriage work. That's how you can be the best you can be. I just want to be up front with you this morning. If you don't read your Bible, you're dirty, okay? If you're not into the book and you're not reading God's Word, well, I don't understand the Bible, then what you're telling this poor preacher this morning is, I like being dirty. I like stinking. Because that's what you're doing. You're stinking because He wants to wash you in His Word. Did you know I used to not think it was really anything wrong to say GD or other horrible words until I started reading God's Word. And I realized, that's my Lord. What am I doing? It's crazy. It's in the Bible that I learned that I was to love my wife as Jesus Christ loved the church. It's through the Word that He's helped me think some of the things that I think that are good thoughts, that are clean thoughts, that are righteous thoughts. Are you hearing me today? I want you to remember that next time you say that. Well, I don't understand the Bible. That's an excuse. And you know what? I bet you don't go around stinking. But you are going around stinking. Spiritually. Well, I don't have time. Well, I guess sometimes you don't have time for a shower either, do you? You make time. Why? Because I'm dirty, man. I need to be clean. Why? Because I need to be clean for Joy and the young'uns And for my relationship with God, I need that cleansing that comes from the Bible. That makes good sense to me. Do what you want to do. That's what I'm going to do. Let Jesus help you. Watch it. Anoint yourself. What's that mean? A same passage. Ephesians 5. And be not drunk with wine where it's in excess, but what? Be what? That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Not my way, but your way, Lord. Listen to that still, small voice. Okay? Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Let God, the Holy Spirit, you have Him. He's a friend that sits closer than a brother. But you've got to want to have His filling, want to have His help in your life. You're God, little children, 1 John. And have overcome them because what? Greater is He that's in who? You, than He that's in the what? Work. You have a power source in you. You need to be anointed with a power source. Well, people will think I'm funny. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I talk in the Spirit. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Won't you get close to the Lord? Let the Lord speak to your heart. He'll illuminate the Word. He'll bless you. How about this one? Clothe yourself. Same thing. Here it is. Ephesians 5:27, that great marriage passage. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the what? Say it with me. Do right. Do right. Do the right thing. Be a righteous person. Well, I can't understand why marriage ain't making it. You're living like the devil, maybe. Huh? Maybe you're dishonest or lying or cheating or whatever. Put a lot of junk and crap into your mind. But I want God to help me in the mirror. Do right. Put that kind of clothes on. That just is good stuff. Clothe yourself. Go down yourself. That passage, Ephesians 5, nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife as himself, and the wife so that she reverence her husband. The point is this, you've got to decide to do this. You've got to do it. You go down. See, Ruth could have said, oh, I don't want to do that. You mean I got to go down there where all them men are doing that grain? You mean after they get done, I got to walk into his dark room when he's asleep, unfold the covers and lay down at his feet? Yep. That's the plan. This is the plan for a secret to a lasting love. Be you, but be the best you can be. And I can't be the best you I can be, or the me I can be, without Jesus filling me. That's good. That's it right there. That should give you hope. That should give you hope today. You don't understand. I don't understand that. Yeah, you ain't making it on your own, but He can help you. And you've got to just take personal responsibility for you. You might say, but you don't understand my husband, or you don't understand my wife. I know. But how about let's just start right there and you be the best you can be. Okay? And let's just see what will happen. Maybe something good is going to happen. How many think something good is going to happen in this story? Think something good is going to happen. I bet Ruth didn't know how it was going to work out, though, when she told her about this sleeping at his feet thing. You know? Let's look at it. Let's keep moving. She said unto her, Ruth talking, all thou sayest unto me, I will do. Say that with me. All thou sayest unto me, I will do. One more time. Y'all can help me. All thou sayest unto me, I will do. I'll do it. She went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Well, I tell you what we just talked about, washing and anointing and clothing and doing, if you'll do that, if you'd say that in your heart, Lord, what that crazy preacher told me today from the Word, I'm going to do it. Something good just might happen to you. Let's see. That was Ruth's attitude. Here's secret number three. Secret number three to a lasting love. Have a teachable and willing spirit. Have a teachable and willing spirit. Well, I'm out of school, but you're still in marriage. Amen? You got to have a teaching and willing spirit. Put it up. It's huge in relationship. It's titanic. It's gigantic. All right? A teaching and willing spirit. You know what? I have seen very few marriages fail. I've seen a lot of marriages fail in 22 years of ministry. But I've seen very few marriages fail, no matter how bad they got, when I have people with a teaching and willing spirit. When I have somebody with a teaching and willing spirit, great things could happen.
So you just can't use that as a cop-out today. Oh, too much water in the bridge, there's no way. Come on! And especially if you're in a relationship and you think you got this dog by the tail and it's running just fine, listen, you've got to continue to have a teaching and a willing spirit. It's huge in your relationship. The opposite to a teaching spirit and willing spirit is a stubborn, rebellious spirit. And so often that's what I see in marriages. Couples that are just as mean as a snake and at each other's throat, they don't want to do anything, and that's the end of it. I guess it is then. But there is hope. I'm telling you, you got to have a greater vision. You got to quit just looking at the past, and you got to start to see the future. That I can make it, and I believe I can. When you have that rebellious spirit, it's destructive in relationship. That's your marriage right there. It's all tore up and it's shaken. It's teetering. God doesn't want that. He's for your marriage. He wants you to make it. I know this is hard on some because your marriage didn't make it. I understand that. I'm not trying to preach heavily to you. I want this message to find you right where you are. Okay? If you've gone through a horrible time and now you're in a new relationship and you're newly married, whatever. Make it, man! Are you hearing me? Come on! You can do it! 3:7-8. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, so now we're going to see what happened. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. He was happy. Nothing like a happy man after he eats. Amen? I know all about that. He went to lie down. He was wore out. Went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. Why? They'd been working all week. It's outside the city. They're guarding the grain. It just makes good sense. She came how? Shh. Not like this. Don't do that. It doesn't work. I'm really talking to men right now. All right, here we go. Please, fellas, let's get back to our story. She uncovered his feet, and she laid her down at his feet. It came to pass at midnight, so she laid herself down at his feet. Obviously, several hours passed, right? That'd be spooky, wouldn't it? Just laying there waiting, man. That the man was afraid. He turned himself and behold, a woman lay at his feet. This was a scary thing, man. You might think, well, why? He's got a good-looking woman laying there at his feet. What's the problem with that? Here's what I think the problem was. He was working with men all day. That's what I think the problem is. That's why I'd be scared if I was camping out with a bunch of the boys and we were watching rain and all of a sudden I wake up and I feel a body at my feet. Chad, you'd be scared too, wouldn't you? We'd be scared, man. You know what I'm saying? So this is a frightening thing. That's just my opinion, okay? We know he was afraid. Let's see secret number four. Secret number four to having a lasting love. Here it is. Be humble and patient. Be humble and patient. I can't think of a more humble thing than anybody could have done than what Ruth did. She went to somebody she had hardly ever met, just a little bit. She had to go by herself. She had to go after he was asleep. Probably a custom she wasn't aware of. They didn't probably do that in Moab. They might have, but probably not. So she goes in, has to actually take the blanket, you know, and lay down like that and then just wait. But I want my marriage fixed right now. It just doesn't happen that way. Humility. But you don't understand. He's not humble. Why have I got to be humble? Because you want a lasting love. And maybe he'll want one after a while. But you got to be humble. You got to be patient. You just can't fix something overnight. But you can be the best you can be. You can let Jesus work on you. Amen? You can have a teaching and a willing spirit. And then you can humble yourself before His feet. Say, Father, I want to do what You want me to do. And I'm willing to wait as long as You tell me to wait. You understand? Secret to a lasting love. You can't want a marriage, a great marriage, and want it right now. Because you know why? That's arrogant and it's unreasonable. A lot of people do that. They go to a counselor. I've had so many calls over the years, and I do marriage counseling. I usually do one or two. That's about it. Otherwise, I'd never get anything else done. I'm very passionate about this. It's something I love, okay? But Well, I don't want to go in one time. I need a marriage counselor. They go in, sit there in this office, and they go back. Listen, it takes time. It takes humility. It takes a lot of things. And it can, but it can happen for you. Let's keep looking. Ruth 3:9. I know some of you in the audience today thinking, why is he talking about this marriage that they ain't even married yet? I told you, I've never taught it like this before. But I do see some things here. I see some secrets to why they made it and King David was born and then Jesus came later. I see some things here. And I hope you do too. What does he say? Who are you? And she answered, I'm Ruth, I'm handmaiden. And he had already met her and he had already been taken with her. Remember last time, last week? He was already taken with her. Remember all that stuff he told the boys? Drop some stuff on purpose so she didn't pick it up. Okay? He took a shine to her. Ruth says this to him. It's very important that you hear it. Here you go. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid. Ruth tells him to spread his skirt. For thou art a near kinsman. What does that mean? Well, let's see what it doesn't mean. Here's what it doesn't mean. Spread your skirt doesn't mean there was a sexual encounter. There wasn't. Okay, here's what it means. It was a cloak or a blanket. You know, throw your blanket over me. Let me have some blanket. How many have said that before with you, spouse? Let me have some blanket. My wife pulls it constantly, constantly, constantly. Just one little thing we fuss over, all right? She says, I push it. You know, she says, I push it. Who would believe it? She was lying diagonal at his feet. I firmly believe that's how she was lying. She'd been lying long way. Give me the blanket. She'd take all the blanket. She's lying crossways. Give me a little blanket. All right? Number 3. She made it clear why she was there. She made it clear, absolutely. When he said, what's going on? She made it clear why she was there. And here's why. Because he was a near kinsman. Watch it. Here's the kinsman law we looked at last week. Her husband was dead. He had no brother, no family, close. But Boaz was in the family and could marry her so that her husband's name could continue. That's what this is about. There were individuals who could marry a childless widow. They would preserve the dead husband's name. He had to be a blood relative. Also, we saw last week. Watch it. He must have the right of authority to redeem. He had to be the one in line that could do it. If there was a closer relative, he couldn't say, I saw her first. He couldn't do that. He must be able to pay the price. He had to be able to afford her and be able to take care of her. He must be willing to redeem. He didn't have to do it. He had to be willing to do it. So she made clear exactly who she was and what was going on. This was a custom that required protocol. This was a custom that required protocol. It required her saying what she did and doing what she did. She didn't understand it, but she was willing to do it. Let's keep looking. Secret number 5. What do we learn? Here it is. Be a person of integrity and virtue. Be a person of integrity and virtue. Boaz and Ruth were. Listen, I said it before. If you cut corners, if you're crooked, if you lie, if you're phony, if you're not real, listen, but you want to have a great marriage, ain't happening most likely, unless you get real lucky. Okay? It's going to be tough. So be a person of virtue, a person of integrity. Proverbs 31, talking about virtuous woman. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Also, verse 28, her children rise up because of blessing of her husband also, he praises her. Be that kind of person. Be a person of integrity and virtue. Integrity means a firmness of character. Virtue means moral and upright. Do the right thing. 2 points on integrity. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Don't take advantage of someone, especially the one you love. It seems like the people we treat the worst sometimes is our wife. Or wives, our husband. Don't take advantage. Don't manipulate them. You shouldn't do that to the person that you love. Do the right thing by them. Always do right. Bottom line, do the best thing. Do whatever you can for somebody, especially the one you love. I went out to eat dinner the other night with a couple. Had a great evening. But he told me a story about an encounter that he had with another older man. And they were talking. And the wife would like the man to just do some basic things around the house. Simple stuff. But you know what? The man didn't want to do it. He's stubborn. Just didn't want to do it. It's simple. For example, I think, sir, if you throw your dirty underwear on the floor, you ought to pick them up. Okay? Well, what old lady's for it? You already lost, baby. Just little things. And so the man didn't want to do that. He didn't understand, I'm not going to do that. Well, the guy in our church, to his credit, hallelujah, told him he should do it. Amen? Are you hearing me? Boy, I don't know who I'm preaching to today. Listen, do the right thing. Do the best thing. Husband, you should do whatever you can possibly do to help your wife, to please your wife, to love your wife. Wife, you ought to do the same thing. There should be nobody even a close second that you're going to work for like that and serve like that and love like that. Okay? That's integrity. That's virtuous. That's the right thing. Do the right thing. And I get, you start doing that, your marriage just might turn around. Tell me what? 10 through 13. He said, don't you see what Boaz said to her? This is how we should talk to our wives. Look at it. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed me more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, insomuch as thou followed not young men, but the rich or poor. He blessed her. That's what we should do to our wives. Boaz complimented her kindness. We ought to do that. We ought to compliment our wives. Wives ought to compliment your husband. Verse 11, now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. He eased her fears. Husbands, that's what you should do for your wife. You should create an environment where they're scared of you. He praised her character. We ought to talk up to our wife, not down. Vice versa, to wives, to your husband. Praise his character. He probably doesn't hear it a lot out in this world. He could use to hear it from you. Boaz also said, and now it's true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. There's somebody who's closer relative than I am. He was honest with her. Be honest with your wife. I've had it many times to say some hard things to my wife. Things that I was going through. Things that I was going to face. And I had to share it with her. And I knew it would break her heart. But you know what? That's the kind of relationship I have with her. I'm going to share everything. Everything. Okay? I don't make major financial decisions in any way, shape, or form without the blessing of my wife. I mean, I just don't. I want to be in communication with her. I don't need to pull the wool over. Okay? Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if you'll perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part, Boaz is saying, of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord lives, lie down until the morning. Stay here until morning. He assured her that she'd be taken care of. Fellas, you ought to do that for your wife. You ought not threaten them. Without me, you can do nothing. You'll starve to death. Horrible. And don't hold it over her head because you work and she stays at home and takes care of the home and takes care of the kids. It's your job. It's what you should do. He assured her, you're going to be taken care of, whether he does it or I do it. Don't worry. I like this guy. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came in unto the floor. He didn't embarrass her. He didn't embarrass her. He sent her home while it was still dark. I just have a confession, and I know I'm a little late. But there are many times in my life where I embarrass my wife. I would say things down to her in public, correct her in public. It's still something I struggle with. It's wrong. It's wrong. Husbands, you should never embarrass your wife and talk to her rude in public. You shouldn't do that. Wives, you shouldn't do it either. You shouldn't talk about your wife to the guys, my old lady, and crap like that. It's horrible. It just kills her. I've seen my own wife, when I've done that, just withdraw. It's horrible. I've had to say I'm sorry so many times. He said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley. He laid it on her and she went into the city. Boaz provided for her. And that's what we need to do to our wives. We need to provide for them. He gave her 6 measures of barley. Now we're done with the message. Almost. 2 things and we're out of here. Secret for a lasting love. Speak good things about the one you love. Can you say that with me? Speak good things about the one you love. Lady, if you talk to your friends at work about your husband like a dog, your marriage ain't going to make it. Okay? Stop it! It's wrong! You come at me and say something like that. Mm-mm. Don't do it. Fellas, you talk about your wife like a dog. I don't care what she's done. Try to say something good. Amen? Or keep it to yourself or tell the Lord. Don't get that habit of doing that. Here's what Ruth did. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all the man had done to her. She said good things. She told Naomi everything he had done. Watch it. She said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me. And he said to me, 'Go not empty unto your mother-in-law.'" So she spoke real good. She told Naomi, he said, "He gave me 20 days provision. Last time he gave 10, remember? This time he gives 20. So she's saying good things. He said, "Hey, Naomi," he said, "don't go home empty-handed." Good things. Say good things about the one you love. Speak positive. Try your best to do that. We're talking about how to have a lasting love. If you get in that rut where you start talking down, you're going to be destructive to that marriage. Then she said, this is Naomi talking, we're done. "Sit still." Can you say that with me? Sit. Some of you feel like you've been doing that for 3 days in this audience, I can tell you. "Sit still." That's why I raise my voice every once in a while. "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he has finished the thing today." Here's the last message. Here's the last point. 7 secrets for a lasting love. Here's the last one. Keep hope alive and never give up. Keep hope alive and never give up. You might be right there today where you're just sitting still. You just don't know how it's going to turn out. Did Ruth know how it's going to turn out? Yes or no? She could belong to another man as far as she knew, right? She started really caring for Boaz, I believe. She didn't know how it was going to work out. I wish I could wave a little wand and make your marriages all just perfect and just last all great, make all the bad go away. I can't do it. Here's what I can tell you. Take the word of God to heart today. And then keep hope alive. And don't give up. Don't give up. And some of you have been down a hard road, and you tried to keep that hope, and it just didn't work out. And that might be the case. I don't know. But I don't know it, excuse me, to the fat lady sings. That's okay. I know. God gets on to that too. But anyway, it ain't over till it's over. Amen? It ain't over till it's over. Keep hope alive. Jesus said it this way. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." If I could leave you with one thought today, it would be live your life today for the Lord. Love your husband or your wife today. Make it through today, Sunday, okay? Sunday, Memorial Day, May 28th. Just worry about today. You don't understand what I'm going through. Live today. Make it through today. If you make it through today, guess what you can say tomorrow? Made it through yesterday. And start living your life like that. God might call you home, might call him home, something horrible. I have no idea what's going to happen. Won't you start living your life a day at a time? That's what Jesus was saying here. Live and love today. I know we've taken a little too much time, and I'm not done. I'm going to say it one more time. Here we go. Ready? Number one. If you've got them written down, just say it with me. Roger, I know we don't have them like that, but I'll see if you can help me. Number one is what? Believe you can what? Help me now. Anybody write them down? Believe you can have it. Number two, be what? That's right. Be yourself and the best you can be. Number three, help us out.
Teachable.
Be teachable and have a willing spirit. Number four, be humble and be patient. Number five, be a person of integrity and virtue. Number six, speak good things about the one you love. And number seven, keep hope alive, baby. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Let's stand together. Thank you for this one.